Welcome to the Forward Marketing Podcast, the podcast that covers internet marketing strategies and leadership tactics to move your business forward with your host, Joshua Jarvis.
Welcome back to Forward Marketing Podcast. This is the number 4, RD Marketing. And you can catch us online at forwardmarketing.com/podcast for all the show notes and to listen directly to it there if you're not on iTunes. And so to this week, we've got an exciting episode with our guest, Zach Goldie, a little interview. He is a mechanical engineer turned copywriter turned PPC or pay-per-click expert. And so for those that don't know, we've covered a lot of organic growth type techniques over the last year. But this time we're actually talking about a little bit about advertising. And so pay-per-click is your Google AdWords, it's your Bing ads, and it is part of what Facebook offers. And so that's something that a lot of business owners like because it's instant gratification. So as you're listening to this episode, listen to Zach and kind of look at through the lens of listen to how, because he's a former mechanical engineer, you can actually tell that he kind of goes about this as a system. And it's important to note the systems because these pay-per-click isn't as simple as just going out and creating an ad. If you do, you're going to waste a lot of money. You have to understand that these ads are based on algorithms. And so there is a system that works. And at the same time, there's also sort of proven techniques that advertisers have used over the years that can draw results. And so Zach's going to get into that. And then finally, the importance of where do you send the traffic that you're paying for? You know, it doesn't make any sense to create an ad, have someone click on it, and then they end up on a page that doesn't do anything for you. It's almost like if I had the names and phone numbers of all of the potential customers for you, handed them to you, but you didn't know what to say when you talk to them. So that is today's episode, and I am looking forward to getting into it. So without further ado, here's my interview with Zach Goldie. Hey, I'm here with Zach Goldie, and I'm so excited to have you here, Zach. Thank you for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
Yeah, so why don't we give the listeners just a little insight into sort of what you do and maybe who you are.
Sure thing. I am a copywriter turned AdWords specialist working with kind of mostly small B2B companies, the ones that are so dry that it makes your friends fall asleep when you start talking about it. I help them with the lead gen side of things, normally powered by Google Ads. And yeah, it's fun stuff to me.
So how did you go from sort of copywriter to AdWords? How do you make that jump?
Copywriter to AdWords, this partly came from, I realized that people only really get stressed about their copy when their ad is failing. So I thought, why don't I just also help and they don't sit there at night losing sleep about their copy. They sit there at night losing sleep because their ad isn't bringing in leads for the price they were hoping for. So I was like, why don't I just start offering the whole package, learn about AdWords, add that in. And now the copy is only kind of a part of what I might do because people's eyes light up more when I start talking about ads than copy.
Oh, that's so interesting. Okay, so well, let's rewind even further back. Then, how did you get started in copywriting?
Ooh, that's a fun question. Originally, I have a background in mechanical engineering. I used to work in hardware design. Bet you weren't expecting that.
No, I wasn't.
So I got bored of engineering and was considering starting my own business, but realized that there was lots of skills that I didn't have, one of which being salesmanship. These days, most businesses, well, when I was considering, means online, which means written, which means copywriting. So I started reading about copywriting. And it was just surprisingly interesting and also kind of methodical and what have you, and seemed like I could just do this and skip the whole extra starting a business. It's only about a year later that I realized that is effectively starting a business, just not in the startup sense. And I kind of took it from there.
No, that's great. That's it's really unique to meet someone who is maybe have from an engineering background that went into like a creative space. Did you, walk me through that just a little bit. How you made that jump maybe mentally?
I mean, in a way I don't find it that much of a jump because the bit that I've always enjoyed is solving puzzles. Whatever form it is, it might be video games, it might be maths or engineering. I was a massive maths geek at school. And it's that kind of let's sit down, figure out what I can do and solve the problem very methodically. And copywriting is kind of still that. It's let's look at what you're offering. Let's think through why should they care is my main question. Like, who's your prospect? What's them keeping them awake at night? What is motivating them? How do we then tie what you're doing into what they care about? And how do you, I'm making hand gestures that you can't see here. And then how do you piece those bits together? So to me, it's still a fairly methodical thing, even if it's in kind of air brackets creative.
Nice, nice. What was the resource that you sort of latched onto that helps you see copywriting as more of a puzzle to be solved as opposed to a art to be created?
My inlet into copywriting was first via Copy Hackers, which is a great website started by, don't know how to pronounce, how do you pronounce the name? Joanna Weeb, she has a site aimed at mostly kind of SaaS tech owners teaching them to write copy, which I started with and went from there to a forum called Copy Chief, which has loads of veteran, because I figured that I should probably get some feedback on what I was doing. So I searched for a copywriter's forum and I happened to thankfully stumble across one where there's loads of old time veterans in there who are very happy to give you kind of blunt but helpful feedback on, look, dude, I know you think this is a good idea, but you've overlooked this aspect. I'm like, ah, damn it. You're right. Is damn it allowed? Ugh. I'm British. We have different swearing standards.
It's all right. Maybe I'll edit it out. We'll try to keep it clean here. I think that was maybe a PG allowable word. So, people who are listening, they typically, obviously they're interested in you. But one of the things that they listen for is that lead generation tip. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to jump from sort of your copywriting background to the AdWords or, you know, how you would generate leads, because I know you said AdWords, but you know, my experience, there's kind of it's not just the ad. It's not just the sort of the words that you put in there. It's not just this research that you do for keywords, but there's a whole bunch of things that go into that. And I know that you've got some sort of tech tip that you're going to share with our audience today. So why don't you go ahead and take that away?
Sure thing. I quite like telling stories. So I'm going to tell a story about a client who I took over his AdWords. First it failed and then it succeeded because failure is fun. In retrospect. So this was a friend of mine who has his one-man drone surveying company where he has drones that he uses to help industrial site owners spot kind of potential problems like leaks or rusts or what have you in their big old buildings. And he had an AdWords campaign that had been running, but it was a bit of a kind of, don't want to say bodge, it was kind of a, it, he didn't even know how well it was performing and what have you. So I offered to take it over for him. One, I did all the general keyword stuff, but being a copywriter, I also completely rewrote his landing page. So that's the page that people get to once they click on the advert. And we ran it and we waited a few weeks. I think there was zero conversions. As in terms of things keeping you up at night due to stress, this is definitely one of them. I was just sitting there going, why the hell is this not working? And yeah, I lost quite a lot of sleep those couple of weeks. So do you want to then hear about the next step? You've got questions. Yeah, you about had that me. One.
I was waiting for you to to tell us, hey, how did you fix that?
Yeah, that's the fun bit. So I find when I fail in life, it's often because I tried to be too clever. And this is one of them. I was in there thinking, well, this is always one of my early campaigns. And I was sitting there thinking, well, people have already searched for drone surveying, seen the advert for drone surveying and clicked on. I don't think I need to do much selling at this point because they must be most of the way there, right? So I had what you would probably think is, it was nicely written, of course, a fairly standard page about here's the kind of projects we help with and here's what we do for those projects. Which, I don't know, to me that sounded like a fairly sensible way to outline the page. Turns out, didn't really work. Instead, I thought back to, there's a sales guy that I know who works for a software company. He told me, I once asked him, is there a point in the conversation where you can see that you've pretty much closed the sale? His answer surprised me because he said, it's normally the point where the prospect suddenly gets that we understand the issues they're facing. It's nothing about like, oh, this is the fancy stuff we do. It's we understand what you're what you're struggling with. So I sat there and thought, okay, this is clearly why there's an old copywriting formula called PASS, so problem, agitation, solution. I was like, ah, this is why that works, isn't it? It's because by talking about the problem, it's not to go all infomercially. It's just a look, I get that this is what you're facing. So suddenly for this drone guy's landing page, it was about, okay, we get that you're probably used to using scaffolding that takes 3 days, blocks up the site and is crazy expensive, blah, blah, blah. Expanded a bit on that before moving to, well, we can come do it in a day without getting in anyone's way, and it's only 20% of the cost. Then finally talked about, these are the projects that we help with, and this is what we do on them. And suddenly, as my client Chris said, he goes, yeah, it was like night and day. Suddenly I got kind of 3 calls the next day.
Oh, wow.
Increasing anything else about the keywords or the anything else.
Well, and what I liked about your example was, I've actually had some experience with that type of business. And one of the things that we struggled with was the fact that there wasn't a lot of sort of search volume on that. Mm. Maybe it's more popular where you're at. For our audience that's listening, that they have an idea and they think, oh, this is going to be great. Mm. But when they do the research, you know, Google's giving them nothing. What kind of advice do you give those people?
So for a bit of context, this guy is getting, it's not a huge amount of impressions, hundreds, maybe 1,000 impressions or so. But this tactic meant that the click-through rate is about 8% and the conversion rate once they reach the page is 10. So that means that out of every 100 people who searches drone surveying, one of them is probably calling him. So that's kind of the ratio that we're working with at this point. There is a clause in here. I would only consider AdWords if, how do I explain this? So AdWords is useful if it's something that people search for. By this, right. I mean, so my service, people, I find people don't go, oh, I need a PPC manager, I'm going to go sit and Google it. It's normally someone I end up talking to who goes, oh, that sounds cool, which is a very different thing. It's a difference between when you're cooking Thanksgiving dinner, you actively go out looking for a turkey. When you're in the shop, you might buy some cookies just because you're like, ah, cookies are great. So it's the difference between like, if it's an opportunistic thing that once they see it, they'll want it, that's probably more useful for something like Facebook ads. If it's something people search for, then yes, AdWords is possibly a good idea.
That's a good distinction. I think a lot of people get excited about these new social media things and they get sort of enamored with the shiny object and they say, oh, wow, this is, you know, I'm going to go advertise on Instagram and it's going to revolutionize my business, and realize that, you know, those are, you know, they're like the checkout, the shelves at the checkout station. You know, they're on this social media to be distracted. They're not making a sort of a buying decision. They're being distracted and your ad is a sort of in their face. Whereas Google AdWords is much more, I think there's much more buyer intent behind.
I mean, some businesses might fit into both.
Right.
So say, you had a salsa class. Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
If you had a salsa class, some people might be, oh, a salsa class, that looks cool when it appears in front of them. Some people might sit at home and go, you know what, salsa is a good idea, and go onto Google to find one. So it isn't necessarily an either or for every business.
Oh, no, I totally agree with that. I was just saying that there's definitely a good distinction between the two. And you need to know, like the drone business, I would probably be surprised to see it do really well on, say, something like Facebook versus, like you were saying, Google AdWords.
Yeah. I think the scary part is that the increased intent, which should hopefully, to us, we got a good conversion rate, which means the cost per clicks are higher. But if the end kind of cost per lead that you end up paying is still acceptable, then that's great. You don't have to be scared away by that upfront number.
Right. Speaking of budget, what would you give for small business owners if they were thinking about pay-per-click What would you think is a good budget for them to see sort of results?
Ooh, that's a fun question. There's a slight part here in that the cost per clicks can vary quite a bit between industries. So some highly competitive ones like software development agency you'll be looking at could be $20 per click. Something like drone surveying is in $2 per click. So it can vary by a factor of 10. But generally speaking, you probably want a good few hundred bucks of testing money, if not up to maybe $1,000, somewhere around that ballpark, with the expectation that for the first iteration might not be a home run. It might take a bit of tweaking. So you also need to be happy if that investment doesn't pay off immediately.
Right. And that's in line with what we tell clients as well. Cause it does vary. It's also a traffic number. You need enough impressions to see like, how does the ad perform? Has that been your experience?
Yeah, that's true. You can't see just from two people whether it's performed. So we worked it backwards. We sat there, we went, okay, how much is a client worth in terms of profit? What percentage of that are we therefore happy to spend? And that gives us our cost per lead. We can then look at the cost per click and go, okay, so if it's $2 per click and we're looking at $100 a lead, we need a 5% conversion rate, otherwise it's not worth doing. So once we had 100 clicks and not a single conversion, we're like, well, we wanted 5 at this point. We're getting 0. We probably know enough to know it's not working. So it partly depends what conversion rate you need. But once you've got 100 clicks or something, you probably know whether or not it's performing.
No, that's great. I hope that anyone listening got what you just said, because that's pretty huge. That's the whole reason why you spend time consulting with the client. Because if they understand what it costs per lead and you're giving them reports on and you're doing your side of the job, then they understand that, you know, if a lead costs $20 a lead, what they need to do to be able to, because there's an actual another funnel that you don't really have control over, right? I mean, there's a business owner has to convert the lead once it passes through there, which could actually drive the cost of a converted lead or a new client even higher.
Yeah. I often ask people that question, like, okay, so what proportion of clients ballpark do you think you close? Is it all of them? Is it half? Is it a third? Is it a quarter? Like, get a feel for that as well. Because then you've gone from cost per acquisition to cost per lead, which is a different thing.
Right. What have you done anything with the local ads? Have you seen any difference between those and, say, the sort of global search ads?
I've mostly played with big areas at the moment. So this drone dude was pretty much in a 200-mile radius is what he wanted.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's kind of, but not that local.
Yeah, 200-mile radius, that's a big area to cover.
Is it 200 miles? It might be less than that. Also, we're in the UK, so distances are different here. So
200 kilometers?
As in like 200 miles is most of the UK.
Yeah. So he covered the entire island.
Oh, well, yeah. Pretty much all of England, maybe just about touching Edinburgh.
Okay,
that far.
And the reason why I asked is because that does sound like a local business. And so wondered if you had taken advantage of any of the local type services for
That's not local by UK standards.
So, well, no.
Anywhere that's more than a 5-minute walk is not local in the UK.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, well.
So I haven't done any of like the drive to maps or anything like that. But I know there are features like, you can make it so that the ad appears with a distance away, saying this business is 4 miles away, and you can do things like this, but I haven't tried them out myself yet.
Okay, no, that's great. Well, let's go back to, you had in the very beginning, we started talking, you had talked about doing the landing page. How important do you think having a, you know, dialed in landing page is? Like, were you getting clicks but no conversions? Is that what made you change the landing page?
Yeah, pretty much. We were getting, Google will send you clicks. They just may or may not be So there's two parts here. So I'm going to backtrack. There's two parts here. There's a bit like, it's like getting the ideal person into your store. that's a good step. But if your store is a mess, they walked in, get confused, and the guy on the behind the till is unhelpful, counter, I guess, it's in American terms. If they walk in and get confused, they're still not going to spend any money. So AdWords is a bit like the getting the right person into the store. The landing page is what happens when they get there. Right. It's the, we've got your page in front of the right person. Now we need to say something that makes them go, you know what? This is a really good idea. We should give them any, drop them an email or give them a phone call. So those two parts do need to work together. A lot of people seem to focus on the keywords, but forget about the landing page. And I'm like, well, that's partly why your conversion rate's only 2%, which is apparently the AdWords average, which I'm surprised by.
No, I mean, I think a lot of business owners want to do this themselves, and you know, they skip over the landing page. I've seen it so often that they don't think to create a page specific to the ad, which, as you know, I mean, it helps the Google sees that and says, oh, this is a much more relevant page. And so it drives even more traffic to you. Mm-hmm. What are some keys that you would, that you'd give to business owners about a landing page that you've seen, you know, sort of like a, hey, if you're going to do these two or three or five things, what do they need to do on the landing page?
I would firstly accept that. Okay, I'm going to have a slightly roundabout answer. I find that businesses writing often goes a little bit, you know, the whole vague landing page, the whole vague website where like, I can't quite work out what they do. They're saying a lot of words, but without saying anything. That comes a lot from, I think they try to write to every possible type of client they might ever have, which means that you're going to get more and more vague. The same business owner will be happy talking one-on-one and can perfectly describe what they do to one specific person. So I think on a landing page, you do need to accept, and actually that's partly what we did. I got him to ignore the 10% of clients he gets and write for the 90%. Because suddenly you can be really specific about what that one type of person needs and wants. So an example of this might be, let's say you did web development. The person who runs $1 million-a-year business whose website is struggling under the strain probably has very different issues to the startup dude who's just starting his online store. So it's kind of pick one client type if you can and write to that one client type. Except that, yes, you can have different campaigns or whatever later that talks to other client types, but keep each landing page specific to one kind of person.
No, that's,
which is harder to do than it sounds.
No, I think that's a challenge. I think in any, whether you're talking about AdWords, we had a show about networking, and I see so many business owners come into a, you know, one of those sort of business, you know, chamber of commerce type meetings where you've got a bunch of business owners and they're trying to generate business, and they say, and they get an opportunity to stand up in front of everyone and say, what's a good referral for me? And they say, well, a good referral for me is anyone who's looking to do this. And immediately, as soon as they said anyone, everyone immediately heard no one, because it doesn't apply to me. You said something at the very beginning. It just really reminded me of that sort of sales 101 that everyone's tuned into, you know, WIIFM, which I always thought was kind of cheesy as I was in sales previous to this. And, but it's what's in it for me, you know, that's what WIIFM stands for. So yeah, it makes total sense. The landing page, it's almost like, if I can kind of assume a little bit that from your engineering mindset, that, you know, one of the key successes that I've had in AdWords is when I've gotten really specific on the ad and targeting one person, like it only makes sense that if you've got these little, you know, so many individual ads, that you would also have, you know, corresponding individual landing pages for those. Is that what your experience has been as well?
To a point, yes.
Okay.
Sorry, trying to think. I haven't played too much with making, because you can do whole loads of automation. I tend to stop getting too clever if I've already started hitting the target cost per lead. I'm like, you could always push it further and further and be more and more clever, but it becomes a diminishing return thing. So I haven't got that clever. You can do things about dynamically replacing words on the landing page, but I've gone, if they're that different, you can make a second campaign. Does that answer the question?
No, yeah. I mean, I think you agreed with me, but in a roundabout way. I was basically asking you, have you seen where matching landing pages up to So let's say you had a business that had identified four different niches that they are, you know, maybe they're like, well, like a web developer, for instance, and they're, and they're really good at insurance agents, and they're really good at working with financial planners, and they're really good at working with real estate agents. You know, they would want to create ads specific to almost like our podcast, for instance. I mean, I told you in the beginning that, you know, we sort of are a podcast for small businesses, but if I was to run an ad campaign, I wouldn't want to run small businesses. I would want to run the very specific businesses. And then if they were to click on that, my landing page, I'm assuming, and you're going to tell me if I'm right or wrong, is that my landing page would then, you know, let's say I wanted to say, okay, I want to get more real estate agents to listen. So I'd have a real estate AdWords campaign that also had a real estate agent landing page.
Yeah, you'd want to, there's always make it as specific as you can be, especially if they might be searching for it in a different way, then you definitely want to have a different one, partly due to industry terminology and things like that. Or if you offer a slightly different service to different people, then you would want a different page for that.
And then just to kind of recap what you had said about the change that you made is that on your landing page, you want to sort of address the problem that they're having and not necessarily just get into talking about your service.
Yeah, I think it's always a good stage. Like with your guys, could start talking about AdWords straight away, or you could be like, okay, yeah, you've probably tried every other thing from you tried cold emailing, all that did was get you 100 angry responses and that didn't work. And you tried every other piece of advice, guessing you're now just sitting there awake at 3 a.m. staring at the ceiling going, really need more clients. How can I not get more clients? Well, here's a way that blah, blah, blah. And you could like take the conversation from there. If you get too hyped up, it does start to be a bit silly, but I would say start over dramatic and then tone it down if that's something that worries you. But yeah, it's that kind of show them that, yeah, look, I get what you're going through. It's cool. This is why I know how to help you.
Right. So what are some of the mistakes you see people make with setting up AdWords?
A key one is, now that we've talked about landing pages, a surprising amount of ad campaigns go to our homepage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So hopefully they heard that one. If it's going to your homepage, that's the wrong place.
Yeah. And the issue of that is because your homepage is probably a catch-all any possible clients and every service that you do. If you're only advertising, like, say you're a vet and you do dog... Now, I don't know. Why did I choose vets? I don't know anything about vets. Let's say you're a dentist and you've got a thing about root canals. You might as well send them straight to the root canal page, not send them to your homepage and make them navigate to the right one. So that is probably the biggest simple error that I see.
Mm. Any other ones that you see that sort of stand out?
Any other ones that I see... You often see a surprising amount of, you can test this yourself. If you go on Google and search for a service that you're looking for, let's stick with web designs. Say you stick to search for web design. They'll probably all say pretty much the same thing. And you'll see a pattern. A lot of them will be, we're great. We've got 10 years experience or something like that. You can easily therefore start differentiating yourself by going, we only help businesses whose admin is a mess by making them software or whatever. So it's that kind of, you can also, it's easy to take inspiration from other people on the assumption that they know what they're doing, which I'm not convinced is always valid. Mm.
So would you use a tool like a SpyFu or something and see, or would you just do a generic search and see what's out there?
I do a generic search. I don't get too fussed about what everyone else is doing because I assume that coming up with it myself might actually be a better idea. Mm,
that's interesting. I would, it's almost one of those things where I almost wish there was like an asterisk because you have a background in the copywriting and so you've got that skill, whereas a lot of business owners,
that is a
you know, if they come up with it on their own, you know, do they have the information they need to be able to actually come up with it on their own? I mean, it's certainly possible. And I agree to some extent, the originality certainly can possible. Help. But it's also useful to see, you know, if there's a big company that's spending a lot of money on a particular ad, they, you know, there might be a reason why they're doing that. Maybe you just make some tweaks to that. So maybe it's like a combination of what you said and what we see people do is like, okay, take an ad that they're running and then just tweak it to make it into your voice. Would that be?
Yeah.
I mean, for someone that's going to do it themselves, I mean, obviously it seems like something that's worthwhile. Like, let's talk about that for a second, because I mean, obviously I do a little bit of this as well, but when you talk with clients, I mean, when they think about the cost per lead, for instance, are they factoring in the cost to hire you as well?
I don't point that. I don't normally point that out to them. So not strictly speaking, most of the time my fee will only be a fraction of what they're spending. Like, just works out as a fraction of what they're spending.
Sure, sure. As it should. And that goes back to that sort of budget question as well. And I didn't mean to put you on the spot. It was just more or less what I find is that it seems from the businesses I've seen that even if you were to factor in the cost of, say, an actual professional like yourself, that it seems to be that the cost per lead is still far greater than if someone tried to do it on their own, because you can get the conversions down. You know what buttons to push and what to remove and sort of, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely. And I think even getting that cost per lead is a thing that I have to work out with people a surprising amount of the time. I mean, it's not that surprising. I wouldn't have thought about it otherwise, but it's kind of, you should probably, because how else do you judge whether you're successful? It's that I was talking to, I might be subcontracting for another marketing company where I helped him plan out how he's going to walk his client through coming up, because they've only gone, yep, we want leads as cheaply as possible. It's like, well, how cheap? Kind of, you need to decide whether or not it's worth doing, even if you've got what seems like a good result. So let's sit down and work this out. How much do you actually want to spend per lead? And then, yeah, maybe if, I don't want to say if you don't mind burning your money, but if you don't mind experimenting, if you've got the time and you've got the like budget to spare, like there's nothing wrong with trying to work it out yourself, but it might not work out. And hopefully it's more likely if you then start hiring someone instead.
Yeah, that's been my experience as well, Zach, is that you, when I sit down with clients or people who've emailed me through the show, that it's not, you know, they may contact me for some particular service, but that at the end of the day, that it's the conversation around their business, you know, why, their mission statement, their, you know, their processes behind their business that they need to handle first before we start pumping their company full of leads and then they don't know how to handle them. Or, you know, they're getting these inquiries that they've spent a lot of money on and it's not the right inquiry for their business. Those things are a challenge. Yeah. So what would be, I know you kind of started off with this, the story about maybe, you know, something that didn't work out real well, but then you tweaked it and you saw some success. And I'm a fan of, I don't know if you've ever seen Donald Miller's Story Brand, but that actually reminded me of the formula that he always suggests. But what what's been a big sort of a failure in your life that you've learned the most from?
Oh, that's a curveball. Big failure. Da-da-da.
I always find that failures are the greatest teacher, at least in my life. You know, as long as you get up, you're still, you know, you're still learning and you're still growing. And so, you know, I could do a whole year's worth of podcasts on all the things I've failed at and, you know, all the lessons I've learned from that. So I always like to ask the guest, you know, what was your biggest life lesson from a failure that you've had? Because it's just so educational.
You should really prepare me for that question.
It was in the notes, in Zach.
Oh, bloody notes. Who reads notes?
I know. I'm going to play some music and we'll edit this part out. Let's see. Sometime later.
I did have a failure a couple of years ago when I was starting out. This was more early days of copywriting where it wasn't a complete failure. And actually I had a few things that made it turn out not so bad. No, there was a different one. This was fun where there was a company who They also do AdWords stuff, but this was before I got into it. And they were having a training course that they were launching. They'd had an initial launch to some of their followers, and that's fine. So they wanted a new landing page written for it. I was like, yep, cool. Spoke to them, asked a lot of questions. So I sat down, went through, talked through motivations and everything else, wrote the landing page. We all thought it was great. I thought it was great. They all thought it was great. We're like, yeah, this would be great. And yeah, it just kind of didn't really work. It was only in hindsight when I came back to the website 6 months later, actually as someone who would potentially be interested in their kind of stuff, where I was like, yeah, this isn't actually what I care about right now, is it? So there was a bit of a realizing that maybe by not talking, by misunderstanding their clients, we had missed the mark and that what was going wrong with it. But I mean, so I do some amount of like teaching swing dancing stuff, and my criteria for a successful exercise is nobody dying. As I joke in class, I was like, but nobody died, so it's fine. I mean, yes, I did lose them as a client because they were going, well, we're not getting the return, and that bummed me out. But it was a reminder to, okay, it's really easy to actually misunderstand the situation, why people are buying, and not sure I've got an ideal solution because that happens to the best people, but it's a kind of, and actually in my copywriters forum, I was posting about this and people were like, dude, like even the best copywriters strike out quite often. It's just something that happens. Don't worry, pick yourself, carry on, keep on trucking. And yeah, so that was useful to have people having my back when I was disappointed in the result.
Yeah, just so much good stuff there that I hope everyone got. I mean, one of them was just being cognizant of that problem now that you, when you went through that, you know, you're now aware of it. Yeah, you may strike out, but at least, you know, as we'd say over here in the States, you know, at least you see the pitch coming, you know, you see the ball coming down. If you know a curveball is coming, at least you know it, even if you can't hit it. And so you knew that. And the other thing was, and I think you mentioned at the very beginning, I asked you, I said, what were some good resources that you actually had a forum that you go to? And the internet's full of great forums, Slack channels, Facebook groups for copywriting.
Yeah, we met on Slack, didn't we? Was it the Slack channel? Yeah,
several different Slack channels, and I'm really impressed by the communities, particularly off of Reddit and you know, places where you think there might be a lot of trolls, and yet there's been a lot of value that's been added to my business, and hopefully I've added value to others. So, well. You have a captive audience that's listening. I always like to end with a sort of a question for you. You know, if there was someone listening right now, or I had a Rolodex of just everyone on the planet that I could connect you to, who would be a good connection for you? Like the old John Maxwell question of, you know, who do you know, or who do I know that you should know, so to speak? Like, what's a good type of person, or a good, maybe if you know them by name, you could say, oh, I'd love to talk to like Gary V or something. I might not be able to hook that up, but at the very least, you put it out there. So if someone knows that kind of person or the actual person, that you at least you got a shot at it. You know, every question you don't ask, the answer is always no to every question you don't ask, right? That's like salesmanship 101. So.
You sound like my mum, but she always goes, well, you might as well ask. And it often works out quite well.
So who would be a good connection for you?
Good connection would be kind of the people that I end up working with. These kind of mostly B2B business owners who are probably under 10 people and are doing quite well, but want to ramp up their leads a bit more. So they do have a bit of budget to spend. And would be interested in seeing if some Google ads could increase
nice.
Their lead
gen. Remember we said during our show today that we need to niche it down. So is there a particular niche of businesses that, you sort of specified the size, but is there a specific industry that you are just, you know, oh, I know this backwards and forward. I can really help this kind of business.
I usually end up working with the more techie geeky kind of businesses, partly because I can translate their geek speak into English without getting lost in gobbledygook too long. Especially tech companies, things like drones, all these businesses that would otherwise confuse and put your friends to sleep, which I should probably narrow it down further.
That's great. I mean, if you're listening and you're tracking along with us, but you don't have the time to do pay-per-click, then Zach's information is actually going to be on our website at forwardmarketing.com/podcast. Is where all the show notes are. We'll have his information on there. And how can people reach out to you? I mean, obviously they can go to the show notes, but are you on Twitter? Where are you at, where they can find you and connect with you? If they have questions about pay-per-click, AdWords, or copywriting.
The best is just to shoot me an email, which is hello@zachgoldie.com. Hopefully my name will be written down so they can get the spelling.
Perfect. So you just want the email and
yeah, they can visit my website if they really want, and, or just drop me an email.
Maybe he'll make a special landing page. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to make you do that. Well, Zach, I really appreciate you coming on. I think this was gold, especially for any business owners that are thinking about doing pay-per-click. This is really timely. And it's such a tough topic. Like immediately when I thought about doing a pay-per-click episode, I thought about, oh, I'm going to have to do it via webinar or something where they can watch it. And that was not the case with talking with you. I got a sense of, okay, I've got a good idea of what I need to do. Maybe even how to evaluate the people I'm hiring. But, you know, and also they have a great resource in you that they can reach out to. And I think that you would do an amazing job for them. So thanks so much for coming on. Okay.
It's been fun talking to you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Zach Goldie, and hope that you enjoy our sort of lead generation series. If you've got any questions about lead generation techniques or anything that you want us to cover at Forward Marketing, just email me at joshua@forwardmarketing.com. That's the number 4, rdmarketing.com. And look forward to catching you next week on the Forward Marketing Podcast.